For a moment, he just lay there, staring at the dim lights of the Imperial City playing across the ceiling above his bed, and struggling through the sleep-induced disorientation. The disorientation and an immense weight of sadness that seemed to fill the core of his being. First Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru had been murdered. Then Darth Vader, his real father, had sacrificed his own life for Luke's. And now even Ben Kenobi's spirit had been taken away. For the third time, he'd been orphaned. With a sigh, he slid out from under the blankets and pulled on his robe and slippers. His suite contained a small kitchenette, and it took only a few minutes to fix himself a drink. A particularly exotic concoction Lando had introduced him to on his last visit to Coruscant. Then, attaching his lightsaber to his robe sash, he headed up to the roof. He had argued strongly against moving the center of the New Republic here to Coruscant. Had argued even more strongly against setting up their fledgling government in the old Imperial Palace. The symbolism was all wrong, for one thing, particularly for a group which, in his opinion, already had a tendency to pay too much attention to symbols. But despite all its drawbacks, he had to admit that the view from the top of the palace was spectacular. For a few minutes, he stood at the roof's edge, leaning against the chest-high wrought stone railing and letting the cool night breeze ruffle his hair. Even in the middle of the night, the Imperial City was a bustle of activity, with the lights of vehicles and streets intertwining to form a sort of flowing work of art. Overhead, lit by both the city lights and those of occasional airspeeders flitting through them, the low-lying clouds were a dim, sculptured ceiling stretching in all directions, with the same apparent endlessness as the city itself. Far to the south, he could just make out the Minari Mountains, their snow-covered peaks illuminated like the clouds largely by reflected light from the city. He was gazing at the mountains when 20 meters behind him, the door into the palace was quietly opened. Automatically, his hand moved toward his lightsaber, but the motion had barely begun before it stopped. The sense of the creature coming through the doorway. "I'm over here, 3PO," he called. He turned to see C-3PO shuffling his way across the roof toward him, radiating the droid's usual mixture of relief and concern.
"Hello, Master Luke,"
he said, tilting his head to look at the cup in Luke's hand.
"I'm terribly sorry to disturb you."
"That's all right," Luke told him. "I just wanted some fresh air, that's all."
"Are you certain? Though, of course, I don't mean to pry."
Despite his mood, Luke couldn't help but smile. 3PO's attempts to be simultaneously helpful, inquisitive, and polite never quite came off. Not without looking vaguely comical, anyway. "I'm just a little depressed, I guess," he told the droid, turning back to gaze out over the city again. "Putting together a real functioning government is a lot harder than I expected. Harder than most of the council members expected, too." He hesitated. "Mostly, I guess I'm missing Ben tonight." For a moment, 3PO was silent.
"He was always very kind to me. And also to R2, of course."
Luke raised his cup to his lips, hiding another smile behind it. "You have a unique perspective on the universe, 3PO, he said. From the corner of his eye, he saw 3PO stiffen.
"I hope I didn't offend you, sir. That was certainly not my intent."
"You didn't offend me," Luke assured him. "As a matter of fact, you might have just delivered Ben's last lesson to me."
"I beg your pardon?"
Luke sipped at his drink. "Governments and entire planets are important, 3PO. But when you sift everything down, they're all just made up of people.